Lord willing, we will be finishing up Romans chapter 10, verses 18 through 21 this morning. And I would like to read these verses for us. Romans 10, verse 18, beginning. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Romans chapter 10 is dealing with the word of faith. And this word of faith, as we have studied already, was in their very mouth and in their very heart. And so therefore, Paul is saying, have they not heard? And the answer is yes, they have. And they knew. But they resisted and they rebelled and they became disobedient. And the word gainsaying is they were argumentative. They were not willing to accept the truth as it was given to them. And verse 18 says, but I say, have they not heard? Verily their sound went unto all the earth, and their preachers' words unto the ends of the world. I believe this is talking about the remnant that was living in Paul's day. Now, not all of them were on the same page at the same day, because there were some to be won later. But I believe that this remnant here is a reference to those to whom Peter preached, and we will look at some verses on that in Acts chapter 10 and so forth. But let's just see what some of these words are here in this 18th verse. It says that their voice, or the word sound, is their voice, that is preaching, went unto all the earth, and their preachers' word, singular in number instead of plural, singular, unto the ends of the world. And this word is rhema, which is a specific word. And so this is a reference to the word of faith. The word of faith went out throughout all of the world. And this word world here is not cosmos. It's the word that means dwelling places, where people lived, inhabited earth. And it's in the present tense. And so it's a place where they are living. That the rhema word, the word of faith, went out. In 10:17, it talks about, then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the specific word. And that is the word of faith. And that is what has gone out over the earth. In Romans chapter 10, verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. And that's what Paul is talking about, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And this is the specific word that is being referred to. In verse 8 of Romans 10, it says, But what saith it? The word, the specific word, which I believe is faith, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the specific word of faith which we preach. The word is rhema rather than logos. Okay? The rhema is spoken. Logos is often referred to as the written word. And this is a spoken word, a specific spoken word, and it specifically deals with faith. And faith has to do with pleasing God. And you cannot be a disobedient and gainsaying people and be pleasing God. And the nation of Israel in the day when Jesus was preaching and teaching was a disobedient and gainsaying people. And so therefore, they were not inclined to please the Lord. There were those that were. So, what saith the word? The specific word, saith the word of faith, it's a specific word that is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the specific word of faith which we preach. In Acts chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by the report. This is not a verb, it's a report. The hearing is a report. Of course, it is spoken report, in a sense, because of the rhema, the word rhema being used. It is the hearing that is given, and the hearing through preaching, because they were preaching the rhema word of faith, which was specific of God, or the word of God, which primarily is the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That's what the word of God deals with, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So when we're talking about the word of faith and the righteousness which is of faith, we're talking about the kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ, being qualified to rule and reign with Him. And the way that we qualify ourselves to rule and reign with Him is to please Him. Don't be disobedient. Don't argue with Him. Gainsaying has to do with conflict and controversy and always arguing with the Lord. Be submissive to Him. That's being just. If you're obedient and you don't argue with Him, you're being just. Then you're ready to live by faith. You're ready to trust Him in any circumstance of life. And it's by faith that we please Him. So, faith comes by listening or hearing the report. And the report is that the righteousness which is of God comes by pleasing God. This is not the righteousness that so many people teach having to do with being saved, common salvation. This is a different righteousness. This is a righteousness that only the saved can enter into. Now, this word, this specific word of faith, was broadcast over the whole earth. And it began in Acts chapter 2. And I want us to refer to verse 36 through 39. This is Peter standing up and preaching. He says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ," Messiah. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now Peter was not speaking to lost Jews. These Jews had come to Jerusalem at Pentecost to worship the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are saved Jews, and not lost Jews or lost people. Because if they were lost people, you know what? And if they were asking the plan of salvation, you know what Peter would have told them? The same thing that Paul told the Philippian jailer. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou'll be saved." Peter did not respond in that way. What Peter said is found in verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized." And repent means to change your life, to get things right with God. Quit being disobedient. Quit arguing. Become just. And then die to self. That's what baptism has to do. Baptism is a burying of someone who is dead. And let me say that you don't repent before you're saved. Peter did not tell the Philippian jailer to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then comes repentance and baptism later. And so Peter is telling them to repent and be baptized. What is that message, repent and be baptized? That's the message that John the Baptist was preaching. That's the message that Jesus Christ was preaching. That's the message that the 70 and the 12 preached. They were preaching the kingdom of heaven, ruling and reigning from the heavens. And to qualify for that, you needed to repent of your sin and your lifestyle of rebellion and die to self. And dying to self has to do with pleasing God. When you die to self, that means you're putting the Lord first. He's the one that's going to be calling the shots in your life, and you're going to trust Him with those called shots. Sometimes I wonder how the international community responds to our slang as we talk about calling shots. Calling shots means, this is my will, do it. But anyway, and this repentance and baptism has to do with the so great salvation that we read about in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Because in Hebrews 2, 3, it talks about the so great salvation that the Lord began to speak at the beginning and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. That's Hebrews 2:3. And what He began to speak at the beginning was repent and be baptized. That's what Jesus preached. And then it was confirmed unto us that heard Him. Now, and it's for the remission of sins. Remission has to do with deliverance and liberty. And if you don't die to self, that means that you're going to live in bondage to sin, or you can live in bondage to sin. And it says, and you shall receive the gift of or from the Holy Ghost. And the gift is not the Holy Ghost, but it's a gift that comes by the Holy Spirit, or by means of the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. And that gift is defined in verse 39. The word for is a conjunction that ties verse 39 with verse 38. And the gift is the promise. That's what the gift is. Everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to repent and be baptized to get the Holy Ghost, or to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And when we see the Holy Spirit falling upon people in the days of the first part of the book of Acts, or in the book of Acts, it's a confirmation that this message that had been denied many groups of people, or several groups of people, now are able to enjoy that. And that had to do with the Samaritans, and that had to do with the Gentiles. And God poured out a special portion of the Holy Spirit upon the Samaritans and upon the Gentiles so that they would speak in tongues, so that Peter and those that were with him wouldn't be able to argue. What are we doing here with the Gentiles? But we don't eat with them. We don't fellowship with them. See, that's all changed. That changed. Peter struggled with that, but he got over it. Thank God for that. And he used the keys that God gave him of the kingdom and opened the door to the Jews, to the Samaritans, and to the Gentiles. And that promise is age-lasting life, or life for the age. And that promise is defined in 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise, age-lasting life. That's what the promise is. And that promise was to their children, to your children, and to all, to you, of course, and to your children, and to all that are far off. And I associate the far off having to do with the Gentiles. They were the ones who were far off and were made nigh by the blood. in Ephesians tells us that the Gentiles were made nigh by the blood. And so, therefore, this is a reference to not only Jews could rule and reign from the heavens, Samaritans could rule and reign from the heavens, and Gentile believers that are pleasing God could rule and reign from the heavens. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 5, we find out to whom Peter was speaking. And I think this is significant. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, pious men. The word devout is pious. Has that carries that meaning. Out of where? Every nation. And those Jews were in Jerusalem, dwelling there, worshiping. And you know what? They went home. And what did they carry with them when they went home? The message they heard from Peter. So you know what? That message went out where? Over the whole earth. All the places of dwelling. That happened 2,000 years ago, but you know that's going to happen again. 144,000 are going to preach the same message all over the world again. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul makes mention of this. He says, "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, conditional, if you continue in the faith, if you continue to please him, if you continue in the specific word of faith, grounded, settled, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which he heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." That message had been preached to everyone. Everyone had heard it. And of course, the hope, I want to just reiterate that in Colossians 1, 25 and 27, or through 27, where it says, "Whereof I am a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you," that is, to Gentiles, "to fulfill the word of God, to fulfill the mysteries of the kingdom," because that's what the word of God is all about. In fact, you see the word "even"? That's in italics. I put a line through that because that's been added by the translators, and they didn't do a good job by doing that, because the word of God, the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Notice that this mystery is being made manifest to holy people. This mystery is being manifest to save people that are living a holy life. If you're living a holy life, you're just. This mystery is not revealed as the what people would think is the common salvation. Man has always been able to be saved from the day that Adam and Eve left the garden. There hadn't been a day that a man could not put his trust in God through an animal sacrifice and be saved. Okay? Now, to whom God would make known what is the riches of this glory, of this mystery, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, the thought of Christ in me is misleading. The Holy Spirit is in me. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father. He is in His body of flesh and bones. Jesus Christ is not omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. God the Father can be omnipresent and is omnipresent. But Jesus Christ is in His body of flesh and bones. So this Christ in me has to do with His attitude. Submissive spirit. Was Jesus Christ submissive to His Father when He was here on the earth? Absolutely He was. "I came to do my Father's will. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Now that's the Christ that we need in us. We need that attitude. We need that spirit. And that spirit has to do with the hope of glory. Jesus Christ endured the cross so that He can enjoy the blessings of glory. And you know what? God raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory. God gave it to Him. Okay? Acts 8:14 talks about the Samaritans receiving the Word of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 27, we see the Ethiopian eunuch receiving the Word of God. And in verse 36 and 7, it says, as they went their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest, present active, with all thine heart, that thou mayest. And he said, and he answered and said, I believe, present active, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is my high priest, and that He will one day judge me, because the Son of God is one who judges. That's what sons do. And Jesus Christ will judge the Ethiopian eunuch just as He will judge you and I. And that will be at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, Moses prophesied of this blessing being open to Gentiles. And Moses prophesied of it. It's in Romans 10:19 to begin with. But I say, did not Israel know? For Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. And we find that prophecy in Deuteronomy 32:21. And they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God, or not of God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy. And with those which are not a people, I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. In other words, what happened is that God said, I'm going to make the nation of Israel jealous by opening blessings that were theirs only to Gentile believers, which had been excluded. And let me tell you, they were excluded in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not go to Gentiles. Jesus Christ did not go to Samaritans except alone. But He didn't go into the cities. He met the lady and those that were in the city of Samaria at the well. And there's a difference. He didn't go into the cities. He was out at the well and He ministered to them things that He didn't even tell His disciples until later. It's an interesting study in John 4. He was telling that lady at the well He was the Christ when He hadn't even told His disciples that He was the Christ. But anyway, they were wondering, what in the world are you doing talking to this Samaritan when they came out there? You know, they were a little ticked that Jesus was not focusing all His attention on them. Well, anyway, let's go on. I'm speculating on that, okay? Now, God provoked Israel to anger and to jealousy by opening the blessings of God to the nation of Israel. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with salvation. This has to do with a heavenly inheritance. Okay? Now, Romans chapter 11 talks about God provoking them to jealousy. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their offense. The word fall, in the second word fall, is not the same word as the first one. The offense here is the falling away, the quitting. It's also translated sin too. When you sin, you're falling away, okay? And it says their fall, but rather through their fall or offense, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them, that is Israel, to jealousy. Now this salvation is not the common salvation, because Gentiles have always been able to be saved. And there are good examples of that. Abimelech one of Abraham's friends, a Gentile. He was just. Rahab the harlot in Jericho, a Gentile. She was a saved woman. And Nineveh, a city of Gentiles, Jonah preached in, and they repented. So Gentiles have always been able to be saved. So when you read the word salvation, like in Romans 11:11, this is not talking about that salvation. He is talking about the so great salvation which is associated with the kingdom of heaven, ruling and reigning, which the Gentiles couldn't have during Jesus' ministry. And so this salvation is opened unto the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy and to make them to come and respond. How? That they would quit being disobedient and they would quit being so argumentative. Quit being gainsaying. Now, Isaiah also prophesied of the Gentiles, and it's spoken of in Romans 10:20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, "I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me." And I think it's really neat that it says Isaiah is very bold. I'm sure that his rabbi brethren were a little bit ticked at him to talk about Gentiles this way. He was bold in saying, of course he was doing God's will and bidding and saying what he said. He said, "I was found of them that sought me not." And Gentiles weren't seeking anything. And why weren't they seeking anything? Because God made no promises to Gentiles like he did to the nation of Israel. So they weren't expecting anything. And all of a sudden, they get what was offered only to the nation of Israel. And so, and then not only that, he manifested to them. He showed it to them. He opened it up to them so that they could understand it and anticipate the hope of glory, which was a mystery that was open to them. And this prophecy, by the way, is in is in Isaiah 65:1. "I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, Behold me. Behold me. Unto a nation that was not called by my name." Now, he said it twice. You know what that means? It means that he meant it. Anytime you see things repeated in the scriptures, it's for emphasis. Behold me! Look at me! Is what he's saying. He says, "Unto a nation that is called not called by my name." And the Gentiles were not called by his name. They were not the people of God. In Isaiah, or in Romans chapter 9, verse 24 and through 26, we have reference to Hosea and his prophecy. Just reminding us, reviewing this a little bit. "Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said unto Osi," or Hosea, "I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved." Isn't it interesting here? There are some people that God didn't love, and then he decided, or he changed his mind, and he loved them. People think that God loved everybody. God loves everybody. But there were some that were beloved and some that weren't. But that changed. The Gentiles became lovable, if you want to put it that way. Anyway, "And it shall come to pass that in the place where I was set unto, where it was said unto them, You're not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living God." And if Gentiles become sons, you know what? They will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. That's what sons of God do. They rule and reign. And Gentiles who qualify by pleasing God will rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. 1 Peter also speaks of the Gentiles in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He says, "But ye," and he's talking to the elect strangers who are Gentiles. This is in chapter 1, or in chapter 1, verse 1. I didn't put the chapter in there, but it's in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, basically. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, or a purchased people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is a reference to Gentiles. Gentiles were in darkness. These truths were not being revealed to Gentiles in the day of Christ. They were hidden from Gentiles. Don't preach to them. Jesus told the Syrophoenician woman, it's not fit for me to give you the food that I'm supposed to give to Israel, to you. And I like the answer. He says, well, the little dogs under the table get the crumbs. And give me a few crumbs, Lord. And the Lord said, I haven't seen this kind of faith in Israel. And so Gentiles were not able to get that light. And now this light is being opened unto them. And the mercy of the Lord has to do with forgiveness. And now we can obtain forgiveness and get His grace at the throne of grace. And then in closing, Romans chapter 10, verse 21. But to Israel He said, all day long have I stretched out my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Contradicting, denying, disobedient. You know what? The Lord was long-suffering to them. You know what that tells me? The Lord is not willing that any of us should perish. He's not willing that any of us should lose positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom, but that we'd all come to repentance. That we would all change, come back to Him. And the Lord opened His hands to receive the nation of Israel, and He did it all day. He didn't do it in the dark. He did it where they could see Him. He wanted them, but they didn't want Him. And Isaiah 65:2 says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walk in a way that is not good, after their own thoughts. They didn't get their thoughts from the Word of God. They got their thoughts from someplace else. A people that provoke me to anger continually to my face. Woo! Can you imagine shaking your fist in the face of God? I couldn't do that. And then, of course, not in your notes, but in the rest of that verse, they were sacrificing in gardens, not at the temple. Temple wasn't a real nice place, you know, and all lots of flowers and all that. It was down there where the altar was, and the ashes, and the smell of dead animals. They were in the garden, and they were burning incense on bricks. Bricks are things that they made. And God was disgusted with that. May God help us to appreciate the fact that we have been blessed. And we have been blessed because Israel has fallen. And that door has been now opened to us. And you know what? We need to produce the fruits thereof. We need to be a fruitful child of God and stand in His presence and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, I just pray that You would help us to appreciate what Israel did and has gone through, and that You made it possible for us to be enlightened and to receive the blessing that they didn't felt like they were not worthy to have. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to walk worthy of that calling unto Your kingdom and glory, that we would stand one day approved in Your presence. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.